Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay. It is your wedding. You are getting married to the love of your life. Your big sister is giving the maid of honor speech. She gets up and gives like a kind of, you know, a little bit of a rambling speech. It is like 7 minutes long. It's a little long. And then she starts to end it. And then like music starts happening. And she's like, you thought this was over? Well, just wait and see. And then proceeds to sing a pretty lazily personalized medley of Disney songs about you and your future husband for 10 minutes. Also, your wedding is occurring during coronavirus. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, a show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
Okay. How clever.
She said lazy.
It's
right?
Lazy.
So like, can you, I just want, I think
okay,
I want
to do you want to hear an example?
Yes.
Okay.
Are these pauses part of her performance?
No, I'm trying to remember.
This is why it's 10 minutes long.
Okay, I'm trying to remember. Also, two of the songs are from Frozen, which I think you're a little too old to be including Frozen songs.
Sisters, I think, stay into Frozen too
right.
old when they get older.
Okay, but the beginning song is, it starts with be there, guest, be there. It's also
spoke. She doesn't really sing.
Sprechstimme.
Yeah.
So it's not even for her to show off her amazing voice.
Oh, no, she's a very poor singer.
Does that make it better or worse?
I think perhaps better. Because if she were a good singer and sang for 10 minutes, I think that would be really rude.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not also still rude. Right.
How many people are at this coronavirus wedding?
Oh, a lot. It seems like 100.
Wow. Okay.
100 people at this coronavirus wedding. Also, so you're like, Be their guest. I remember your first date when he pulled out his chair for you and almost dropped a plate.
Oh no.
And it's not clear if he really did drop the plate or if it were
that just rhymes with just, date.
Yeah. If it was just the rhyme. Also
Kelly,
one
they did a speech she did a speech first.
Yeah, she did a
She's
speech.
Double dipping.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also partway through the song, one of the lines is like, the way that a viewer of this video would learn that this wedding occurred post-corona is that one of the lines is that they tried to stop us with the virus, but we kept doing the party or some bullshit like that. Like they, one of the lines is about coronavirus.
Wow.
Okay, also, the video is titled Best Wedding Speech Ever. and possibly uploaded by the sister.
It's got to be.
By the person who performed it.
Yeah.
Because anyone else would have known how... it's setting this woman up for ridicule.
I mean, maybe it is someone who is trying to, like, embarrass her.
Well, the description is like, you don't want to miss this. This is, like, such a fun, creative, Disney-themed...
And that's how you get people to click on it.
Yeah.
it sounds clickbait. Like the person who did it posted it from, like, her husband's account. Like, that's the scenario I'm imagining.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
He probably was the cameraman, too.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Only those two could not realize how bullshit of a human being this person is.
God, you know, he heard her rehearsing it at home.
Yeah.
like, honey, didn't say shit.
Do you think you should sing some of those parts of the song?
And she's like, well, I'm not really a good... Now, hush, honey. You're a great singer.
Okay, do you get any shots of the bride and or groom's
faces?
Yes,
you do. Yes.
How are they taking it?
Sister looks confused but is laughing.
Okay.
Like, so also, they did not know this was going to happen.
Yeah.
So sister is... You know, she seems like she's, like, enjoying herself. She's laughing. Husband refuses to look at the maid of honor.
No.
Is staring to middle distance.
Just waiting for it to be over.
He has a smile occasionally,
mm-hmm.
a grimace, you know?
Yeah.
Occasionally, and, like, a kind of, like, that kind of laugh. And, like, looking down a lot. I don't think he makes eye contact with her once.
That's incredible. That's him realizing the difference between 17 minutes and the rest of his life of being related to this woman.
My wonder is, because, you know, we've all done improv shows in front of an audience. And, you know, there's moments when you're like, I lost them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm. At what, like, at minute 5, do you think she thought that? At minute 6? There's so many different minutes that she...
Well, let me... Is she singing without accompaniment entirely, or...
No, she's singing... someone put together a, like, karaoke version.
Oh, wow. Medley.
Okay, but that means that she is locked into this 10-minute track.
Yes.
Like, there's no early out unless she just straight up pulls the plug on it.
Right. Right. She does not seem to be... upset or worried at any point. Like, she seems very confident and excited, unless she's just a very good performer.
How old is she?
Probably like 24.
Okay.
No, probably like 26.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little too. Oh, also, one of the lines is about how her sister couldn't just let her get married first.
No.
What? Yeah.
All right, huh? Kelly, if you had led with this, you stand up and turn the opposite direction and just wait for it to be over. You just give her your back. That's what you do.
No, you make a rush for the fuse box and just cut power to the building.
Yeah.
to the building.
I think you stand up and you say, the wedding's off. One of the lines is like, but no, you had to do it first. Also, it's that accent the entire time and that style of, like, talking. Like,
do, 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 do. That's probably her voice, though.
It's possible.
It's.
But she does sing sometimes. So there's some parts where she's like, sometimes.
Oh,
here's
wow,
the thing
wow,
about
wow,
this.
Wow.
I think potentially it would fly at, like, a bridal shower, because those are pretty dumb anyway. It's all about giving gifts. It's, like, kind of, like, froofy and silly and, like, it's all kind of stupid. So, like, I feel, and the bride doesn't plan it. That's the other part about the bridal shower.
Yes.
So, like, it's not a day that, like, the bride and groom spent a lot of time organizing and deciding how everything would be. So, like, I feel like in a shower, if you want to do a little medley song to be silly, it could be kosher.
I think you just have to know if that's on the menu. Like, I was at a wedding once where, like, during dinner, they had, like, a stage area, and they were like, if anyone wants to come up and, like, say anything or like give a speech. And like, this is something that we knew ahead of time. So like, some people did prepare songs, some people did write poems, and like, it was cute. Like, and that was like a space that they had programmed for it. To volunteer that out of nothing is insanity.
Yeah. Well, because also she's, this is how she starts the song. She goes, "Oh, you thought I was finished? Just you wait." And then music kicks in and the bride is like, "What?" And the groom's like, "Huh."
Oh, man.
And staring, like, also it's very weird because like the bride is facing camera. Mm-hmm. Groom is not sitting directly next to her. He's sitting catty corner from her. So he's so we get like his profile the entire time.
But he's facing her like when they, if they were to eat food at that point, they could make eye contact.
The wife and the husband. Yeah, because they're catty corner. So it's like you're next to each other, I suppose. Like you're perpendicular to each other.
However, like a corner of the table?
Yeah, I don't know why he's sitting like that.
Maybe and it's then, facing out to the audience, to the, because you know, some people eat in front of everyone.
Yeah, and then, but here's the thing. So when maid of honor is giving her speech, she's unbroken eye contact with bride. Groom is literally facing away from her.
Okay, but to be fair, groom is making a choice. Like, we all know you could just turn your neck.
You just
if someone is giving you a toast, he is, you don't have to avoid, you don't have to stare straight ahead.
I think he's like, this is the way the seats are. I can't turn.
Oh my God. I would love to see what's happening here, but
oh my God.
Far out of my hands.
Yep. Mm.
And for some people, this is going to be like their last memory before they get COVID.
Yeah. Well, honestly, like I was like, if I got COVID while listening to this woman,
just belting those particles out across, spreading her asymptomatic coronavirus
ass corona flakes lands on your upper lip.
Yes. Dude, and like that microphone that everybody's fucking using that whole day. Like, I was just like, this is like truly like the, and also as a viewer, you do not learn that this is a coronavirus wedding until about like 9 minutes into the video.
That's so funny.
Are there current brides who want something like this to happen? Not coronavirus. I'm going to go with nobody wants that, but. Like, I get it. Like, in 2003?
Yeah, when flash mobs were cool.
Yes, flash mobs were cool. Sure. You saw that episode of The Office. Mm. Uh-huh. But even then, that was, like, old then. That was not cool then. Mm-hmm. And now it's, like, is that what, do people still hope that the maid of honor speech at their own wedding goes viral?
Well, so get this. I was curious, so I just typed in Disney wedding toast. I have no idea, because there's at least a dozen Disney song parody wedding toasts on YouTube going back, as far as I can see, September 2015 is the earliest one. Ooh. So this is not like even a unique thing to do.
Man,
it sucks and it's old hat.
Yeah, terrible.
What do you think would be the worst Disney song to hear in a medley about your own wedding?
Poor Unfortunate Souls.
I was also going to say Be Prepared. Poor Unfortunate Souls is really good.
Les Poissons.
If it was a medley of all villain songs, Kelly, how would you feel?
I mean, I honestly would be thriving.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was like...
Oh, our best of friends from Fox and the Hound?
How about You Got a Friend in Me? With you and your new husband's names inserted into it, and the maid of honor is doing a Randy Newton
God
impression.
Oh, geez.
You got a friend. Yeah, really bad. Bleak. bleep.
And rolls right into I Love LA.
At that time, I think murder is justified. It might not be a crime anymore.
Yeah, and but I think you should not get punished for it.
And you should take him to school.
Oh.
We got too into the punishment thing.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot. I thought it was crime and punishment. I'm sorry.
We're doing crime and school and ships because there's a new series coming out called Teenage Bounty Hunters on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of I like this genre of like fighting crime in high school. If someone doesn't have a ship from Veronica Mars, I expect we have to talk about Veronica Mars anyway, right?
Well, I wasn't gonna do a Veronica Mars ship.
Me neither.
Colin, were you?
No, I was not.
So oh my
Veronica
gosh.
Mars is this really good show. It's a neo-noir in a Southern California high school.
Neptune.
It's funny because the other thing I was thinking about, but I couldn't think of a ship in, is Brick, which is like, what if Veronica Mars was not funny?
Yeah.
I'd still watch it is the answer.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of ships in that, but I don't, I mean, here's the thing. I think with Veronica Mars with me right now, because Colin and I are doing a rewatch and talking about it for hours and hours and hours at a clip.
Yeah.
I've like expelled every thought I have. Yeah. Like I'm happy to open that door, but it's like it's all out there.
Yeah.
I've gone on the record.
I'm happy to field any questions you might have, but I'm not really dying to like spark the conversation because yes, Bogey and I will have to talk about it for about 4 hours this week, probably.
All right, I'm happy to not talk about Veronica Mars. That's fine.
Oh, okay, the other thing is when I was thinking of crime, I was trying to think of criminals, and for me, it's very hard to ship criminals. It's easy to ship like crime fighters and crime stoppers.
Mm.
But I think I came up with one, but it's very easy to ship, but also like so wrong that I kind of wish it didn't exist.
Okay.
Well, let's hear it.
Thank you. So it starts in the pilot of this teen soap where you're introduced to the elite of the Upper East Side. And you meet like rich dumb boy, and you meet like super blonde girl who's been out of town, and Brooklyn kid, and you know, Upper East Side princess girl. And
is then there you a also squinty meet- bully involved?
There is a squinty bully, and he's not just a bully in the pilot. His name is Chuck, and he is an attempted rapist in the pilot.
Oh,
and
wow.
They never
that is
really
true.
Retcon that in any meaningful way. It's just a thing he did, and they just kind of let that be. So we meet him as a criminal. And certainly, like, because Dan Humphrey, who is the Brooklyn boy of early that I referenced before, he's our kind of intro to this world, even though he knows it really well because he writes a blog called Gossip Girl about it.
Spoilers for Gossip Girl.
Well, and also, just that's retconned.
Mogi, you just saved the listeners like 7 years.
Yeah, don't worry about it. If you're still watching Gossip Girl because you want to know who Gossip Girl is, not worth it. That is not a reason to watch. But he's our POV character, and so he is told about Chuck, and Chuck is alone with his sister, and it's like, oh, don't let Chuck be alone with his sister. So not only do we watch Chuck have an attempted rape on a roof, but it becomes clear that everyone knows that this is what you expect from Chuck. So I think I'm ready to call him a serial assaulter at the very least.
I think that's safe.
And that's in episode one. By episode six, he is part of one of the OTPs, and not necessarily my OTP, but an OTP for the show.
Mm-hmm.
They decide to hook him up with Blair, and that relationship lasts on and off, and with drama, drama, drama through the rest of the series. But it's well done that these two characters would like each other, but it's like hard, for me at least, it's hard for me to ever forget that he is not a bad boy, but like a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of mean to her. He like tries to prostitute her out for a hotel. Spoilers for season four or whatever. But like, it's
for a hotel
weird...
room or for a hotel? What are the stakes here?
I believe he offers her to his uncle in exchange for the lease or the like deed to a hotel. And then the uncle like doesn't do it. And then Chuck's like, oh, well, I wasn't really going to go through it either. And Blair's like, fuck you. She does break up with him at that point, but still. But it's a weird thing because if you skipped the pilot and the previously ons,
mm-hmm.
it would be like just a normal bad boy, like pining after the girl who thinks she's too good for him, but also like he can't admit his feelings. And it's like a fairly typical teen romance, but the whole time he's a criminal. And I kind of wish it never happened. Like, not even just like don't watch the pilot, but like maybe the show Gossip Girl should get erased from the cultural consciousness and no tweens should ever see it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's really a bad message.
It's like the Ally McBeal of like the early 2000s.
Totally. Take your good memories and then let it disappear.
Yeah.
Does Gossip Girl's memory endure? Like, is that something that we still have to reckon with?
I think that there are people doing rewatches and still aware of it at the in current times. Because it's on Netflix, so you can just rewatch it at any time.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other, actually, just this week, I was made to watch an episode because my girlfriend remembered that our friend Benjamin plays a UCB performer in one of them. So that was worth it. That was a takeaway.
Oh, that would be fun to watch a friend be on Gossip Girl. Yeah, if any of you guys are on Gossip Girl, I'll watch those episodes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But other than that, I'm fine with doing it. So is your ship with the series Gossip Girl and nothingness?
Yeah,
I wanted to talk about, because I do have actual ships on that show, but like this one, I feel like it's both a very like, it does the trope really well, but they started off, it's like, it started with a bad person who, like, this is not how you don't redeem a rapist by making him really good at sex.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what they did. And it's like, yeah. No, that's not a redemption arc for him.
No.
Yeah, that sucks.
So, aside from the fact that they just sort of, like, never bring it up again, like, they're like, oh, you know, we don't need to talk about that. None of the characters need to address that. Is he meant to be, like, a protagonist? Because I've only seen a handful of episodes completely, like, randomly, but I always saw him as, like, the hard antagonist. Is that incorrect assessment of the squinty guy?
I think in the first season, they were willing to let him be more like willing to make bad decisions. But he's like one of the main characters throughout the whole series.
Mm-hmm. But not like a villainous character.
No, he like the villains are usually parents.
Mm.
Like his dad is a villain at certain points. Duck Bass. What is his name? Bart Bass.
That is an unfortunate name for a villain.
It does. Bartholomew Bass.
Oh, there you go.
That's a little better.
Or like, I think, but there is no real moral center to Gossip Girl is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So like all of them are villains to each other at different times because really it's about power. Like it wants to be like Game of Thrones, but doesn't really like go all in on like the ideas of power. Because So I think they're all kind of villains. Because sometimes Serena's the villain.
Yeah.
And then.
Sorry, I'm looking at the Gossip Girl wiki.
Uh-huh.
And the image that they have for Chuck Bass, he's wearing this belt. And it's mm-hmm. like a thick, colorful, like zigzaggy belt.
What?
Canceled.
I think I'm into the belt.
All right. We keep the belt, we get rid of every other evidence of the show. Oh, you know who the bad guy was? Dawn. Michelle Trachtenberg is the bad, is the villain.
Oh,
she would show up like one episode a season and fuck everything up, or reveal, or reveal that she was the one fucking everything up all along, and then she'd go away. And like at one point, and I think it was—I don't even think it was a finale. She showed up with the baby, and she's like, "Dan, this is your baby."
that's such a fun wedding move.
Like the next episode, it took like half the episode. She's like, "I was just kidding, Dan."
That's amazing.
That's fun. I like her.
Yeah, she's great, and we never have to try to make her be in love with any of our characters.
No, because she's just chaos. She's just evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they had hooked Chuck and her up, they could have been super villains, and just like we can write them off. Maybe I'm also just over rich people. I don't know, guys.
Well, then they're all villains, right?
Yeah, I mean, I only like rich people when it's Succession.
Wait, you like some of them?
No, I mean, like, I only like to watch rich people.
Yeah.
When it's like,
I think Succession is a better execution of Gossip Girl.
Yeah, it is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't wait for that to come back.
Season three has, or is three, right? Three hasn't even started shooting. It'll be,
I know, it's going to be a long time. Kelly, do you have a crime in school and ships?
Yes, I do. Okay, so this person is involved at a school in which a crime takes place, but she is herself not involved in said crime.
Okay.
But I'm talking about, okay, so this person experienced a glow up. This person knows what it was like to be on the outside, but now is in the in crowd. This person is named Fern Mayo. She is from Jawbreaker. Mm-hmm. I want her. You know what I just realized? I just realized I ship a lot of people with Nancy Downs. Because I was going to ship her with Nancy Downs. And in my head, they were going to work together to secure Fern's place as, like, queen of the school.
Mm.
And Nancy's just doing that because she loves Fern.
Well, she likes to destroy things. And I think...
Oh, so she's going to build her up by tearing other people down.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah. Right, no. It's not like I'm going to boost you up magic. It's like I'm going to destroy the lives of everybody else at this high school.
Mm-hmm. And like even in the craft, that's sort of, I think, what she got out of all of their like evil witchy antics. You know,
it was like
rising through the ranks of high school popularity was kind of just an excuse for her to get to do dark magics and fuck people's lives up and stuff.
Right. Right. Exactly. So it's just, I feel like they meet, you know what it is? Okay. Fern Mayo is at the mall and she's post like being popular. She's already popular,
mm-hmm.
but she's, you know, still kind of experiencing some like push pull between, her power and Rose McGowan's power and blah, blah, blah. And she's shopping at the mall and then she goes outside because she goes to throw away her soda and they had just taken the trash out. So she goes outside to throw it outside and Nancy's smoking out by the dumpster and that's how they meet.
Love it.
And, she goes to throw it away and she's like, ugh, it's so annoying when like, you know, things aren't just the way I want it. And then Nancy's like, ugh, I know how that is.
Is Nancy attracted to Violet?
I think she was, yeah.
Okay.
I think
because Fern looks very different than herself. And
Fern
very
looks
different
so
from
different.
What's cool in the craft.
Yes. So I think what happens is Nancy is like, oh, I can help you be a bad bitch and rule this school, and like you don't need to look like that. Like you can throw in like, I like, you know, I like a little what you got going on, but like you can throw in a little bit of that old style because I liked that dark hair. I liked all that stuff. So I think it's like, you know, it's not the healthiest thing in the world. They're both villains. But that's my ship.
Yeah.
No, that's a good ship. Look, if we end up shipping all villains today, I feel like that's fine.
Yeah, I like this ship. I feel like it gives, because Fern doesn't really end the movie with any friends.
No, she doesn't.
So I like that she has a somebody in her corner. And honestly, yeah, I feel like the people in Jawbreaker, like the people in the town, are way dumber.
Yeah,
than in the craft town. So
they can
like also just take over that whole town. It's a bunch.
Oh yeah,
there's a bunch of dum-dums.
I think, yeah, they're going to get their practice out on the people of that town. And then Nancy's like, okay, I'm stronger and like smarter and I'm used to like destroying people. So now let's go back to my town and like really get some work done.
Whoa.
I love it.
Mm.
That's great. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
Colin, you got a crime and school and ship?
I mean, yeah.
can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I can. No. Sorry about that. I don't wanna.
Please.
It's a very, this is going so well so far. so I definitely focus more on the school aspect, but the characters whom like inhabit the school are constantly committing petty crimes, which is I find very fun. It's a lot of vandalism, a lot of breaking and entering. They stole a job posting board from a local restaurant and then as punishment had to this was another scenario, but then in another scenario they were being punished and had to clean like a local deli. And instead, they broke into the apartment above it and got drunk and accidentally lit the whole place on fire. So there's some crimes involved. Are you guys familiar with the Netflix show Dari Girls?
Yes.
No.
Ooh.
It's lovely. It is such a fun show. So basically, you have like these four girls in Northern Ireland in the 90s. And they're best friends, and they're always getting into trouble. There's Erin.
It's so good.
It's so fun. I love all the relationships in it. Like,
yeah.
And the dialogue is super sharp and quick, and it's like a laugh a minute.
Yeah.
But so you've got Erin, Orla, Claire, and Michelle, and then in comes James, who is Michelle's English cousin, and he's a boy. And they all go to an all-girls Catholic school together. So he's like an outsider because he's English, and he's an outsider because he's a boy. And basically, he just he tags along in all their adventures for two seasons, getting shit on constantly. And, you know, especially Michelle, because she's his cousin, likes to fuck with him and drag him down. But then there's... So at the end of season two, there's two really sweet moments with James that led me to my ship. So Erin, the main character, asks the boy who she's had a crush on forever to take her to prom. And he agrees, but then ends up standing her up on the day. So she's sitting at home and, you know, she's devastated and she's crying. She's going to go take off.
She's in this really
her.
Uncomfortable dress.
Yeah, that green, like, it's like a tube. It's horrible, poor thing. And then just as she's about to go upstairs and change and just be in her pajamas alone all night, James knocks on the door and he's wearing his scarf because he is blowing off his Doctor Who convention to take her to prom instead. And it was very cute and very sweet, but I don't ship him with Erin, and I was actually like kind of having a panic in that moment. I'm like, oh no, is the show like trying to put these two together? But you know, because it's like such a like a she's all that kind of moment, like it just seemed very apparent that's what they wanted.
Yeah,
but they play it, the actors play it really well. Like it is super platonic and they like share a moment and you could tell it's like it's not romantic at all. So I was like, oh my God, great. And then they go to the school and they get into a caper where they all get covered in pig's blood, a la Carrie.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of misadventures they get into.
I loved that the show was like, no, they're friends. Like the show does such a good job with like platonic relationships with all the girls with him. It's awesome.
Yeah. I am going to ruin it though, Kelly.
Oh, who do you ship him with?
So in the
His cousin?
No, not Michelle. Kinda. They have the best rapport.
I'm being so quiet. I'm very worried.
James and Michelle for sure have the best rapport, but they are cousins.
Yeah,
because so no,
it's their family.
Not...
Yes. It's called family feelings.
What? No, it's not. No one says family feelings.
You know, the phrase, family feelings.
The common phrase, family feelings, that we all use to sweep our sexual frustration under the rug.
No. You guys are dodging a bullet this week. I'm not cesting this episode.
Okay.
Great.
But so in the final episode of season two, for those of you who saw it, you'll remember James's mom, who sort of, you know, abandoned him, dropped him back off in Northern Ireland to live with his cousin, went and did her own thing, like kind of blew him off for a couple of years. She pops back into town and she's like, okay, James, guess what? I'm whisking you back to London. You're going to be, you know, part of my everyday life again. So say goodbye to your friends and we're leaving today. And when James, so all the girls go to the center of town because President Bill Clinton is arriving to do like a, you know, little tour of speeches and it's a big deal for the town. And they're like, Claire held their place and like got them really good spots. But then James breaks the news and there's that amazing shot where like the whole crowd is like cheering and chanting as Bill Clinton takes the stage and it just pans across the four of them and they're just like fucking devastated.
Because they
lost their friend, and as much as they act like he's, you know, they hate him, you know, they really love him. And Michelle gives him this great like speech about how he's a Derry girl, even though he has that shit accent and he's a boy.
I cried.
That speech was incredible.
Yeah.
So, when James returns, this is where I got my shit from. It was a very brief moment.
Wait. I think I know what you're talking about. Because actually, when that moment happened, too, I shipped them, too.
Did you see it? I think I know. Was it in slow motion?
Okay. Wait. You say it. I think I know what it is.
Okay. So, when they reveal that James is staying in town and they all run up to hug him in slow motion, James and Orla.
Yes.
She's like the first one to get to him and she like puts both her hands on his cheeks and like touches her forehead to his forehead.
Yes. I was like, hello?
Yeah. Yeah. I never saw it before that, but then I started thinking about it. I'm like, oh my God, they could have such a cute little life.
Yeah.
Like forever and have like little curly haired babies.
Yeah. Cause he's so, cause he's so needs to be in control and she's so floopy.
Yes. But, and he's not like needs to be controlled and like he's like an alpha or anything like that. He's actually quite subservient, beta. Especially when, you know, like someone like Michelle is around calling the shots.
Yeah.
But Orla, like she doesn't need someone to tell her what to do because she's just going to do whatever she feels in the moment.
Yeah.
Anyway. So like he doesn't have to like steer her life, but also he won't get like pushed around by her in any way. Like, I don't know. I feel like they are going to be together for like 100 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, you're right. Yeah.
In your ship fantasy, does he like come back and like stay with them, or
he does stay
they
with
have
them.
To like? Oh, okay. He does stay with them like forever. Okay.
Like that moment, like that he does decide to stay with them is like I cried. It's he comes back and they're so happy. It's like.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
Oh, yeah.
And Orla's the one who is because they're all like just sadly staring at Bill Clinton. And then she like gets like a spider sense and she's the one that turns around and sees him like across town through the crowd. She's the first one to spot him, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's up on the bridge and he's yelling, I'm a Derry girl.
Yeah. It's really cute.
It's so good. I love it. I'm so glad that you saw that ship as well.
Yeah,
Kelly.
So in that moment, I was like, hello, do I ship them? And never before that had I. Mm-hmm. No, there's one moment, because I was clocking. You know I'm always clocking for ships. I think there's like one moment where like she links her arm through his at one point, and I was like, oh, hello. What?
Ooh.
And then I forgot.
I might have to go rewatch the whole series to find that.
Yeah, no,
moment.
Me too. I'm actually thinking about it now. I'm going to rewatch it.
Yeah,
sure.
I saved the finale because I didn't want it to be over. But now I know what happened, so I'll watch it.
Amazing.
Sorry, Ryan.
All good. No, I've got a ship ahead of me. I got tears. Bill Clinton. No, I really like it. The show is really good.
Is it just those two seasons or is there a bunch of it?
It is just two seasons. At this point, IMDb has a third season like listed, but you know, no details out. It's just listed as 2020, so I imagine they might be having some release issues.
Just like Succession.
Just like Succession. Like. Yeah, but I'm sorry, Mogi. I didn't mean to ruin the whole series.
It doesn't ruin anything. I'm excited. It lands properly.
Yeah, and it's so weird because it is like just that specific shot in the final episode is like where, like Kelly said, like that's where the ship came from for me. Like,
yeah,
just moment.
And to be honest, I was really cavalier with spoiling anything from Gossip Girl earlier in this exact episode.
Right,
so I really deserve to be spoiled hard because there's probably was at least one listener who was somewhere in early season one of Gossip Girl and I destroyed it.
But now they'll be able to watch the rest of the series knowing that Dan Humphrey is Gossip Girl and like trying to
find the little Easter eggs.
Yeah, trying to figure
out how
that ever be possible.
Yeah, how he like turns himself in on things, he's not in a room. We know what room he's in, but somehow he overhears things. The times where he completely humiliates his own sister and makes her leave town. You know, those like.
Yeah, all that.
He has to make those sacrifices so people don't suspect it's him.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's true.
Patrick?
Yeah.
Do you have a ship this week?
I do. So Colin mentioned that sometimes there are acts of vandalism on Dairy Girls. Mm-hmm. My ship involves an enormous act of vandalism for which one of the members of the ship is wrongly accused of committing.
What?
This act of vandalism, this enormous act of drawing 27 dicks on the cars in the parking lot of Oceanside High. I'm referring, of course, to American Vandal.
Oh,
and Dylan Maxwell, who is maybe my favorite character of the last 10 years, just period. I love Dylan. He's such like a weird meathead who's got this like this really crass sense of humor and like it's sort of. I feel like boyish charm is like overused or like I disagree with it usually, but I feel like it actually fucking works on Dylan. Like despite how awful he is, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other half of the ship for me, is the very person who is spending all of his time filming and documenting Dylan's plight. It is Peter Maldonado, the filmmaker, who is trying to get to the bottom of who did the dicks. And these two dudes couldn't be any less like each other, right? Like, Peter is quiet, he's reserved, he's, like, calculating, he's smart. Dylan is the opposite of all of these things, right? And they both, throughout the course of the series, they both sort of, like, use each other in ways that neither one of them is really aware that they're, like, using the other. But like they slowly come to an understanding that like they need to be more respectful to each other, that they need to like they need to communicate to each other on each other's terms. And I just want there to be like one moment, right, where Peter's like just hanging out with just Dylan and like there's no agenda and they're just like chilling out together and like being friends. And like I feel like there's so much room for that because like okay in the world of the show for his senior year Peter goes off and like makes a second season of American Vandal, right? It goes to like a town in Washington or something, and like it doesn't have the same sort of impact that the first season did, right? Like part of the narrative of season one is like the American Vandal series gets super popular, like that's part of the show, but that's not really part of season two. So I want it to be one of those things where like Peter comes back to Oceanside at the end and like needs a rock, needs someone who's like so set in their ways and like so set in the town that like he can just lean on that person. And I think that person is Dylan.
Hell yeah. I ship it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ship it. I also like that it gives Dylan, because Dylan needs, I think, to like reflect upon and have time to grow from the trauma of season one for him.
Yeah.
Because he has that girlfriend and it's like real, like it gets like, I feel like I cried at that relationship.
Yeah.
He's not really, he doesn't really get it when it's over, but it's like hurts. Yeah. So like, I think post season two is a perfect time for these two to be together and I ship it. I don't think there's going to be any more seasons of the show. So pretty much it's canon. They get together after season two.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Perfect.
Colin, do we have any questions that we can answer?
Yes, we do. So this question comes from our dear friend Moth Woman. And she writes, question, what is the most romantic fictional dinner scene? For me, it's the spaghetti and meatballs and the Lady and the Tramp. Love you guys. XOXOXO. Heart, heart. So a romantic dinner scene.
I'm trying to take this seriously and not answer with a joke answer.
You don't want to say, like, dinner for schmucks?
Right. Or the scene where Sally fakes an orgasm.
Mm.
Romantic dinner.
Oh, you know what kind of just popped into my head? It's not, like, romantic, but it is kind of sexy in, like, a weird, cheesy 2000s way. But the, like... Mr. and Mrs. Smith discovering the other one is a spy scene, like with like pulling out the chair and then using him as a chair and dropping the wine glass and all that. Like,
yeah,
it's that movie is so dumb.
It is dumb, but it is sexy. Like if you take two of the hottest people in the world, get them to fall in lust with each other.
Right. Yes.
And then film it like you got a lot going for you.
And they were like, like crowned hottest people in the world at the time. Like it was an official title that the two of them held.
You know what one, when we say romantic, and I think that this to me feels romantic, except they ruined it in the final season by going back to it. But the How I Met Your Mother, their date, where their first date between Robin and Ted, when he goes back and steals the French horn. Or wait, sorry. The whole storyline. So they go, they leave dinner. Then he goes and gets her a blue French horn. That series of dinner discussions about dinner leading up to their breakup when he tells her he would have stolen her an entire blue orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's romantic. But again, they ruined it. But it was romantic.
That's good. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Really, I'm really racking my brain because I know there have been dinners.
Yeah.
I mean, the very first one I thought of was Moth Woman's example of the of the dogs eating spaghetti. That's romantic to me.
Yeah. Man, I want some spaghetti.
Oh, man, I made some spaghetti the other night.
Oh, man.
It was great.
Yeah, I love spaghetti.
I haven't had spaghetti in a really long time.
It's easy to make. Yeah.
Yeah, and why not? What's stopping me?
Yeah, like truly. What are you scared? You scared little baby?
Colin's scared too of some romantic spaghetti.
Oh, too romantic. Shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's unsexy?
Like, eating.
Huh?
Yeah. Sorry. Eating is unsexy.
Eating on camera. Is unsexy. I think in real life, like it's a sensual experience because you're using your senses. But in movies, I don't think it's ever like I'd rather watch people have dialogue than eat ever.
Yeah, and especially if it's like a 70s movie. You know how they eat in 70s movies?
How do they eat in 70s movies?
It's like really aggressive.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I'm just only picturing Al Pacino right now.
Yeah, it's like people with like 75 fries in their mouth, like screaming.
Hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.